You're listening to Lower Road Radio, voted by Podcast Monthly as one of the top 50 sports radio podcasts to premiere in January of 2016. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what sportspodcast.biz.gov calls subpar at best.
At Tanagra, when the walls fell, this is Dan Owings coming at you another time in the Lower Road Radio studios with my co-host, as always, Jason. How are you doing today?
I feel... this is a horrible way to start the show out.
Oh, geez.
I'm rattled big time.
Uh-huh.
Not because the Indians lost, but I hit a dog this morning.
You punched a dog?
No. I was driving to the show, and a dog darts out. I mean, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. It's dark. Nobody can see anything. A dog darts out, like, right at my bumper.
Yeah.
And I hit it. You know, and it's laying there. I feel really bad.
Maybe it was, a Kevorkian situation. You know, maybe the dog decided it was his time to go.
Maybe. I don't know.
I think you have to console yourself.
Here's the thing. I'm not a big, like, animal dog lover person. I mean, like, nobody wants to hit a dog.
Nobody wants to.
No. I think about all those times where, like, we had dogs that, like, ran away.
Mm-hmm.
/ they probably got hit by a car, and Dad, you know, just said that
they took them to the farm in the country.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah. Do you remember we had hamsters? Do you remember this?
Yes.
Do you remember what we did with the hamsters?
Did we put them in the woods?
We did.
Yeah.
Because I somehow, like, it was my allergies were kicking up with the hamsters.
Yeah.
We didn't know what it was. We didn't know what it was. And finally, we figured out it's these stupid hamsters that we had. What do you do? I mean, today you just go on Facebook and you say, hey, I've got some hamsters. I'm trying to get rid of. Does anybody want them?
Yeah.
Like within 3 minutes, someone would send you a message and say, yes, I'll take the hamsters.
Yeah.
Back then, there was none of that.
Because they need it for snake food.
Yeah, exactly. So I remember it was a big deal. We put them in a shoebox. We walked back to the woods, you know, behind our house.
Yeah.
And, you know, set them free. And, I mean, I remember even as a little kid, like years later, thinking that, like, these hamsters have formed their own colony out in the woods. And there's, like, a mini – it's like Ewok Village hamster style.
That's the way I pictured it.
I haven't been back to the woods, well, maybe a couple times since.
I was back there maybe a year and a half ago.
Did you see a hamster like Ewok Village?
I can't say that I did.
But they're pretty small. You might have just, like, walked right over top of it, not realizing what it was.
We should believe for the best in that situation. Yeah, my girls have had rabbits.
You say had.
Well, yeah, they begged and they begged and they begged. So finally I said, okay, it's going to be like an hour a day. Because the thing about these rabbits is you're supposed to get them out and play with them every day because they're domesticated. You know, but if you don't, then they're just crazy and they'll scratch you and stuff, you know. So they just
Was this an Easter thing?
No, it wasn't an Easter thing. It was just something. My daughter has slept with a bunny since she was a newborn.
Not a real bunny.
No. And so she has this, she loves bunnies, you know.
Yeah.
And so she asked and she asked and she asked. And before we left Montana to move to Ohio, it was hard. She didn't want to leave.
Right.
And so I said, I'll tell you what, you know what I mean? Just to kind of, whatever you say, say whatever I have to say to ease the blow.
Right.
You know, like, we'll get you a bunny when we move to Ohio. and she did not forget that promise.
No.
So then her sister wanted one, and we were told, well, then if they have a friend, if the bunnies are, you know, then it'll be better, you know?
Right.
And so we got the bunnies and bought a bunch of crap for them. And to make a long story short, they were pretty good with the bunnies for like maybe 2 months. And then after that, they just
–
it was a lot of work, you know, that they just wasn't worth it.
Like a bunny, you can't play fetch with it.
You can't
teach it tricks.
No, it's just a bunny. So I said, I want to get rid of them. They said, no. And I said, I want to get rid of them. And we went back and forth. And finally they said, okay, you can get rid of them because they aren't taking care of them.
Except now we want a cat.
No, well, that's not happening. We have a dog. That's all we need.
Yeah.
And so I had said, well, let's just take him to Grandpa's house because there's the woods in the back. And it's funny that you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, that's exactly where I was going to take him. And I didn't, until you mentioned that story, I did not remember that. Like, now that you mention it, it's coming back.
Yeah.
But obviously, there's like something inside of me that thinks that is the safe woods where no predators live.
Yeah.
It would have been. And so in my mind, I said, let's take him to the, I said, we'll bring all of their hay back there.
Yeah.
We can set them up, you know, they'll nestle in for the winter, it'll be great. And the girls didn't want to do that because they were convinced that a fox was going to come by and eat them, which is exactly what would have happened.
Man, we don't know that.
They are fat, domesticated bunnies.
Here's the thing, though. Like, if the bunnies teamed up with the hamsters.
Yeah.
Like.
Right.
I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know why that wouldn't work.
Well, I mean, and maybe even the bunnies would have my scent on them that the hamsters would have from way, like, it's like, you know, like.
What if they thought these were like. From the hamster's perspective, these were huge hamsters.
Right.
Like the hamster gods have
come. They're like gods among the... It could have been a really wonderful life.
This hamster colony all of a sudden is just, you know, going through everyday life. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever the life of a hamster is. And all of a sudden, two ginormous hamsters show up.
Mm.
And we are here.
Right.
And the hamsters actually serve the bunnies.
Yes. Well, we'll never know if that happens.
It's like when C-3PO showed up at the Ewok Village.
Yeah, exactly. No, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the girls wouldn't let me do that because I just thought that was the easy way
out. So you did the Facebook thing.
So I just put them on Facebook, and I thought, who wants two stupid bunnies? I put them on Facebook. I said, free with the cage and the toys and stuff that we have.
Wait. I don't know the story. Let me guess how long it took.
Okay.
45 minutes.
Before I got a message back?
Yes.
I got a message back in 5 minutes. I posted it. Less than 3 hours later, the bunnies were gone.
Yeah, gone.
Gone.
Like, I mean, they were to come get them.
Posted it, message back, hold them for me. I'll be there in 2 hours.
Wow.
Somebody came, picked him up, left. And
dude, you probably got $40 out of that.
I probably could have, but I'm just happy to get rid of them. They stunk because they just poop all the time. They never stop pooping. It's just nonstop.
Well, stop feeding them and they'll stop pooping.
Yeah, there you go. So, so I just, I don't know. It just, I'm just so happy that phase of my life is over. We should go back to the woods. We should take the kids back there.
We should tell them the whole story of the hamsters
find
and
some
say,
hamsters. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, tell them, like, listen, when we were your age, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, we had hamsters, and you know, we couldn't have them, and so we took them back to the woods, and we know they're back there somewhere. Oh my gosh, they would be looking
would
so hard for those hamsters.
Over that.
We should do that.
We spent a decent amount of time in that woods back in the day.
Yeah.
It was a fun place to go.
Does somebody live back there now?
No, not in the woods.
Okay.
No. I mean, somebody owns it, but...
not us.
That's one of the things that I love about where we grew up in Ohio, this area in Ohio, is all these tiny little forests, just like out in the middle of nowhere.
It's pockets of woods.
You're just little pockets of woods. I love that. And I'm reminded when I was, I was like back for the summer for a few weeks in between my first and second year at college. And that was when the movie The Blair Witch Project had come out.
Yeah.
I think we watched it at the house. And do you remember who was with us?
Was it Jared?
Brandon.
Brandon was with us.
Brandon Levings.
Was Jared also there?
I don't know if Jared was there.
I think he might have been.
I just remember. Now, Brandon, if you're listening to this.
Which he is.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Because I think it was you. Because I think not only did Brandon and I watch The Blair Witch Project together, but then we went from there, it was like late at night, to the woods.
Yes.
And just walked, I don't know why, but just like walked around in the middle of the night in the woods. Yeah. And it was really super scary.
I almost guarantee it was Brandon and Jared.
Okay.
Because I remember that.
I'm curious.
Because I remember we were joking around. I mean, this was, I mean, what, 15, 20 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
I remember, like, I used to rub my feet together when I still do when I go to sleep.
Yes, I know.
And they were joking around, like, you know, like diving at my feet with their feet to like, you know, brush up against it and say, you're out, you know. Like, I don't know.
that's funny. You know, when the Blair Witch Project came out, like, people thought it was real. Like a lot of
it
people.
Was the first movie where it was like perspective.
Uh-huh.
Like guys, they filmed that movie for like $10,000 and made $10 million.
And they weren't actors that anybody knew, so no. It's not like, you know. Yeah, people were like leaving the movie theaters. Like you would read stories about people like walking out of the movie theaters, like we got to do something about this. You know what I mean? like call to action. So obviously that was not only talking about the woods. I didn't know you were going to mention. I didn't know the whole hamster thing or anything was going to come up, but I did remember. Going out in the woods with Brandon, and I guess maybe Jared was there. I don't know. But Brandon, who I think we talked about last week, we went through the whole Little League team, League team last week. Brandon wrote the show, seems to have...
Well, not just did he write the show. He wrote like a 4-page article.
Well, I mean...
The thing's huge. It's a book. It's a mini book.
It was the best thing I've read in the last year. It was amazing. So a couple of things worth mentioning. I'm not going to mention the whole thing. And Brandon actually brings in the real names of the sea.
Which we try not to do
You know, we're trying not to embarrass anybody, you know. But he does confirm that there was a booger picker, that one of the CJs was a booger picker.
Yes.
and he said we should probably be thankful that he decided to take the sprint to first base because the boogers would probably be on the ball.
# snotball.
Yeah. and here's the other thing. He said his first memory of youth baseball involved us and our dad standing over a trunk full of baseballs and gloves at the park, right? And he said this is the first time he ever met us. And then our dad, he said, sends him and his dad home packing because he didn't sign up for T-ball in time. He said, I didn't even play that first year because of it.
Well, what's...
That is...
The fact that he still remembers that?
Yeah, I know.
That's devastating.
He said, I had my batting gloves on and everything and just had to turn around and ride back home.
Like as a 5-year-old.
Oh, man. I felt like when I read that, like a little something inside of me just died. And I talked to my dad about it.
Yeah.
So I talked to dad about it. And Brandon, for what it's worth, dad wants to blame Nick Meyer's dad. Dad's like, I don't think I would have done that. He goes, maybe – I remember his – Nick Meyer's dad was helping. He goes, maybe it was him instead of me. Dad was like, I don't think I would have done that. I'm like, I don't know. Brandon seemed – it's pretty ingrained in Brandon's brain.
Well, fathers a lot of times don't understand everything. Like, so here's another dad story just really quick. He had tickets to an Ohio State basketball game.
Oh, boy.
And this was...
I know this one.
Yeah. This was when Jimmy Jackson was there, like Chris Gent.
Jamal Brown.
Like, it was a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the better Ohio State teams I remember.
It's my favorite Ohio State team.
Well, it was a team of our youth. But, yeah. I mean, it was a great team. And Jimmy Jackson went on to be fairly successful in the NBA on a really bad Dallas Mavericks team.
Mm-hmm.
Scored 50 points multiple times.
Yeah.
He was a scorer. Anyways, my dad had like 4 tickets. A buddy had called him and said, "We have 4 tickets. We have we're taking so and so and so and so. I'll come pick you, or you know, come meet us, and we're going to try to get rid of this last ticket. But if we don't, you can bring your son with you,"
mm-hmm.
meaning me,
right?
Not you,
not me. You were.
I was the favorite.
Well, you were older.
Yeah, and the favorite, and. And so dad tells me, he's like, okay, listen, I'm going to drive over to this guy's house. We're going to go up to the Ohio State basketball game. And I want you to get ready because if there's an open ticket, we're going to swing back by the house, pick you up, and take you to the game. But if not, then, you know, I won't be back by the house.
Right.
And I'm like 8 years old at this time.
You view that as a guarantee that
you're like I'm going to the game. Yeah. So like I hop in the shower really quick, get my clothes on. We have a big, like, picture window, mm-hmm. you know, right in the living room.
Yep.
And I stood at that window waiting for dad to pull up in the car to pick me up for, like, an hour.
You pulled a kitchen chair up to the window. I remember because I had this image of you sitting there, Ohio State gear. Like, it was, like, warm in the house because the heat was on.
Right.
But you had your Ohio State coat on, like, sitting there with your coat because you're just going to run straight outside the moment dad gets there.
Well, I have to because dad said be ready.
Mm-hmm. And you were ready.
I was ready.
All night long.
And
I'm watching the game on TV and you're sitting there in your coat, sweating, just waiting for dad to pull up. We're an hour away. There's no way. It's over. It's not going to happen.
I waited an hour and I remember tip-off. I remember turning around, looking at the TV at tip-off and then just being devastated, realizing it's not going to happen.
This is over. It's not going
to
happen.
So anyways, as a father, last night I took my son with me to at our church. We'd cleaned out a back closet. There was a bunch of junk that we just threw in a van that we're going to throw out in the dumpster. And today's trash day. So, like, the dumpster gets dumped. So last night I had to, like, go take all the trash from the van, dump it in the dumpster. And I tell Harrison, do you want to go with me? We're just going to, you know, have a good time, you know, just do something fun. I didn't need his help. I just wanted to get him out of the house and do something.
And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon.
Exactly. And he closed the – we get in the van. He closes his finger in the door.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And it's just devastation.
Right.
It's just the same type of thing, you know, as a father. Like, you know, you're talking about disappointing your kids with the bunnies and getting rid of them and not getting them and all sort of stuff. And, you know, kids getting hurt and breaking their feelings, you know, not picking them up for a game.
Yeah.
It's like being a father's hard.
It's not easy.
No, not at all.
No.
No.
It's way easier than being a mom, though. I will say that.
Oh, yeah. Being a dad is hard. Yeah. Being a mom is impossible.
Sometimes I'll just sit down, like, after, like, something has happened at the house and the kids have just left, and I'll sit down and I'll look at Eric and I'll be like, I got to tell you, it is really great being the fun one. I mean, I know you'll never know because you're not the fun one, because you have to be, you know, somebody has to be tough.
Yeah.
But from my perspective, it's great being the fun one.
That's funny. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, okay, so there you go. I can only speak for myself. I'm a little tired this morning. Stayed up late last night to watch the World Series game 6, right? So we're recording this on a Wednesday morning, so last night was Tuesday night.
By the time you listen to this, Game 7 will have already happened.
Yeah, probably. So we just watched Game 6 late last night, and I knew I was going to be up early this morning, but I couldn't not watch it, even after the Cubs went up 7-0.
Yeah.
And I was just like, well, what if I miss, like, the greatest comeback of all time,
right,
and then I'll totally regret it?
Right.
And, you know, honestly, they could have come back.
Oh, yeah, they were close a couple times.
Yeah, when, what's his name, Naquin, the center fielder, was up and the bases were loaded.
Yes.
I think the score at that point was like 7-2, maybe.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, if he hits a home run like Addison Russell did, all of a sudden, boom, we're right back in it.
Right.
You know? So look at me. I'm saying we, right? Like, you know.
You're part of the team.
I'm part of the team, right? So, you know, I'm a little tired. I'm a little hopped up on my diet this week has been very bad because I've just been eating all of my kids'
Halloween candy.
I'm full of, you know, Tootsie Rolls and Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Now, here's the thing. Your kids didn't get as much candy as my kid.
Well, no. Your one kid, Gideon, was intense.
Well, we all go out. I show up at your house with my kids.
Right. We're in the trick-or-treating neighborhood.
You've got prime trick-or-treat territory. They got sidewalks and, like, just good walk, great neighborhood,
great place to trick-or-treat.
My house, on the other hand, you do not want to trick-or-treat at my house.
Get home.
Yeah. Yeah, not no. Is that fireworks or gunshots? Yes.
Daddy, I got 6 syringes.
You know what? It's really cheap rent. So we show up at your house with my kids, and my older two wanted to pass out candy.
Mm-hmm.
My younger three, they're all jacked up. They're ready to go house to house, the whole thing.
Sure.
So we have a whole line of little kids, your kids, my kids, and our sister's kids, and we're hiking up the road. We get through, what, maybe 6 streets?
Yeah, maybe. I don't
like,
think
Like,
so.
Maybe 4 streets.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a lot.
Yeah.
And they were all done,
mm-hmm,
except for Gideon.
Yeah.
Who, I mean, he was, no joke, sprinting from house to house.
Yeah, sprinting. Yeah.
Sprinting. We're walking down the middle of the street, and he's sprinting house on either side of the street, back and forth, zigzagging every single house.
Yeah.
His bag was easily 4 or 5 times heavier and fuller than the other kids. He might have got more candy than everybody else combined.
We walked with him, and we had to keep a brisk walk just to keep up with him. And we're just walking straight, and he's zigzagging across the street back and forth.
Yeah, no, we like all the other kids maybe walked maybe what, half a mile.
Yeah, maybe
maybe half a mile,
half a mile,
probably less.
Yeah,
half a mile or less. I bet Gideon, you and I walked with Gideon for probably 3 miles.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was.
And he sprinted the whole way.
It was 2 hours of walking for us.
Yeah. So if we walked for 3 miles, he probably ran for six.
Oh, just, easily.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And he wasn't even tired. I mean, he even had the plastic mask on his face.
Yeah, he wasn't letting it go.
Trying to huff and puff through the mask.
I think in his mind, if he didn't have the mask on, they wouldn't give him the candy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, they might figure this out. They might think I'm just a kid wanting candy.
Your youngest, however, ditched the mask immediately.
Immediately.
He's like, nah, this isn't working for me. I don't like this.
And my youngest one, every time they gave him candy, he'd be like, oh, like, you know, like it's a surprise. It's like,
oh my gosh.
They gave us candy again. This is unbelievable. Oh. They're just passing out candy.
Yeah, every house. It's just he probably is like wondering, why don't we do this tonight? If you just dress up, it'll work.
One of my favorite things to do, and I did at your house. I don't know if you saw it at the very end. I'm sitting there, and all of our kids are playing in the front yard. I've got the bucket of candy. A couple people come up front, and we're just at this point. It's the last two or three trick-or-treaters. You know, everything's dark. And that, you know, trick or treat, and I dump some candy in there, and I say, we do this every Monday night. We pass out candy. I'm at your house.
Right. Yeah, I know. Thank you for
the
that.
Next Monday night, you might get a.
Yeah. Yeah. These kids.
Trick or treat.
They don't know.
Every Monday night.
Mm-hmm. I'll send them to your house.
Nobody will go to my house.
No. So I'm not. I've not had a good diet.
Yeah.
Because I've been eating the candy so much. Mostly the Snickers and the Reese's peanut butter cups. Those are the ones that I
do. Do you steal them from your kids, or do they give them to you?
The smart ones hide them from me.
The smart kids?
Yes. No, they're all pretty. You know, there's like a communal pile of candy. You know what I mean? That I pull from.
I gotcha.
As warranted.
See, none of my kids like the sour candy, so they bring me all of their like Skittles and Starburst and Sour Patch Kids and all that stuff.
I don't want any of that stuff.
That's my favorite. I love that stuff.
I just want the Snickers and the Reese's. The other, there was one. It was called a Snickers Extreme.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what is this?
Yeah.
It appears to be a Snickers.
It was exactly the same.
I was like, this is a Snickers.
Maybe that's a new fun size. Because it's like, oh, crap. Yeah, I mean, you fun size, you think it'd be a king size.
Right.
No, it's really, really small.
Right.
So it's an extreme Snickers, which is just really
I love
small.
Taking the tiny Snickers while I'm drinking coffee.
Oh, yeah.
I put the Snickers in my mouth and then drink the coffee. It, like, melts the Snickers.
The other fun part about the fun size stuff is making s'mores with all that. Like a Snickers s'mores.
Reese's really
s'mores.
Good.
Yeah. You can use basically any type of chocolate. Nestle Crunch s'more. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so you know, we might not be on our A game because we were up late last night watching the game and we're just full of, you know,
candy.
Yeah. But that being said, I guess, you know, now is as good a time as any to talk about the game. It's fresh in our memory. So last night going into it, I'm feeling like a little nervous for the Indians because their pitcher, now I'm blanking on the starting pitcher.
Tomlin.
Yeah, Tomlin. They said he's never gone on 3 days rest.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm just like, ah, man, I don't know if that's what you want.
Right.
You know, like and obviously he didn't have it. Now it's probably a combination of the Cubs might have hit anybody last night as well as they were hitting, but the Cubs go up early. Like, you know, when Bryant hits that home run, it was a no doubter. That was the first one, and then Rizzo gets on, and then they hit him in, and then all of a sudden bases are loaded, and Addison Russell hits the grand slam, and it's 7-0, and you just feel like okay,
in the, like third inning,
yeah, in the third inning, you feel like that's it, right?
Yeah.
Like. If I'm at that point, if I'm Francona, I'm just thinking about game seven. I'm just figuring out my pitchers, what I want to do, you know, whatever I need to do for game seven. But then all of a sudden, the Indians start making a little bit of noise. They get a couple guys on.
Well, the Cubs walk a couple guys.
Yeah.
You know, a couple base hits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bases.
Yeah, because that was the other thing. I was like, Arrieta, I mean, he's just going to close this thing down. He was dealing early.
Early.
But then started getting out of control. And then there was a point when I think the Indians had one or two runs and they had the bases loaded. And I thought, man, this could happen. And this would be amazing. But obviously it didn't happen.
One time there was bases loaded. It was 7-1. So you're thinking grand slam. They even said it on the broadcast. They said, like, there's never been two grand slams in a World Series game. You know, and they cue it up hoping that
it happens.
Yeah,
the problem was it was the wrong guy. It was Tyler Naquin, who I think is like the 8 or 9.
No, you want Santana up there. You want,
right. So obviously that didn't work out. They end up losing, and we get what I wanted the whole time, which was a 7-game series.
Yeah.
I wanted game 7 in Cleveland for all of the Marbles, Cubs and Indians. It couldn't get better than that,
yes,
as far as I'm concerned. Now, the one thing that doesn't make sense, and I haven't watched a lot of the reaction because after the game I went to bed and, you know, it's early
Did
now.
Did you actually stay up for the whole game?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, you texted me last night, like in the fifth inning, like, mm-hmm, I don't know if I can do this.
I have a real problem, you know, staying up late at night. It's it's my weakness. And after the game, my wife had been doing some paperwork.
Yeah.
And she came to the couch like around like, it was like the ninth inning, you
yeah
know? And she was like, I don't want to go right to bed. So we watched it in Elementary last night. Like
After the game. Oh, my gosh.
I know. It was horrible.
No, I went.
It was like
40. Like, well, here's because Shelby's in full Indians mode.
Right.
And in the third inning, she muted the game.
Yeah.
I can't listen to this.
Yeah.
You know? And so she's sitting there. And we ended up turning it back up just a little bit. But she was super annoyed. As soon as that last out, like, she shut the TV off and
yeah
went to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was done.
Well, anyway, so then I stayed up even later and watched an episode of Elementary. But
which I've never seen.
Yeah, so you like Sherlock.
I love the Benedict Cumberbatch.
It's the BBC yeah with Martin Freeman. It's like one of the best 5 things on television ever.
What, Elementary?
No,
Sherlock. Yeah, yeah, Sherlock, for sure. Yeah.
Elementary is like the, you know, it's like the... Okay, so if Sherlock is, like, what's your favorite burger place? Like, I don't know if you like Fuddruckers or not like fast food, but like, you know.
Like Five Guys?
Okay, Five Guys. Let's yeah go with Five Guys, okay? So if Sherlock is a Five Guys cheeseburger,
uh-huh,
Elementary is Wendy's. I like Wendy's
yeah
a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
yeah
it's worth getting, you know. So it's not
I mean,
as
don't good get me wrong. If someone offers me a Wendy's cheeseburger, yeah, I'm eating
I mean,
it.
If you're out there thinking, should I buy Dan Wendy's? Yes. The answer is yes, you should. So,
I'll take a meal number one with a large Coke, no ice.
Yeah, and for me, you know, it's not Burger King. It's not McDonald's. I think Wendy's is the best of those three.
Okay. Okay.
Their burgers are square. Do you know why their burgers are square?
No.
Because they don't cut corners.
That's is that
true
a joke?
No, that's true. That's like when they started.
Okay.
That was the thing. Our burgers are square because we don't cut corners. So I'm just saying.
Whatever.
We watched an episode of Elementary.
It doesn't feel natural. Square burger doesn't feel natural.
I like it. It fills up.
Well, I understand that, but it does. Like, I've been eating circle hamburgers my whole life.
Oh,
except for White Castle. They're square.
Do you know why there's 5 holes in a White Castle burger?
Because it takes 5 shots to kill a rat.
White Castle. Set and Spike.
Unofficial sponsor of the show. I love White Castle.
Listen, here's the thing about White Castle. I've lived now in Ohio for 2 years.
Yes.
And whenever we would visit Ohio, I would always tell Erica, like, we got to go to White Castle.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't any
you've got
in Montana.
To.
We got to
yeah
get some. And she hated it.
Yes.
Justifiably.
Well,
it's,
yeah,
it's not pleasant.
No.
So, but.
Well, it's not pleasant at the time or after.
Well, so, yeah. But before. So,
before, during, or after.
Well.
At no point in the time is eating White Castles pleasant, except they're delicious and I love them.
So, you know, I would think living here, right, that I would take every advantage.
Yes.
But probably the problem is, you know, almost everywhere I go, she's with me and she can't even.
Part of the problem is my wife's always with me.
So she can't even stand the smell of them, right? Like just the thought of them. So every once in a while I've been by myself and I think only twice I've gotten White Castle.
Like in the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. I think even though it's available to me.
You and I should go get White Castle because my wife refuses to even like smell them.
Yeah, well, yeah, my wife's the same way. So, but here's the thing, like the other day, well, not the other day, it was like a year and a half ago, I was hungry. I was like legitimately hungry.
Right.
And like the day had gotten away from me, I'm like, I got to pull over. I got to get something to eat.
Yeah.
And it was a White Castle. I'm like, well, this is the perfect opportunity. I'm hungry.
Eric I'm alone.
Is not with me. I'm alone. So like, you know, first of all, the shame that I felt like driving up to the White Castle.
Because you know you're going to get 10 of them.
Right. I felt like an alcoholic pulling up to a liquor store. You know what I mean? Like, this is happening.
Yes.
I can't help it. You know what I mean?
Looking in your rearview mirror to see if you know anybody in the
right
line.
Yeah, yeah. Like, please put it in an unmarked bag. So I got the pack of 10 White Castles.
Yeah.
And if you're
like
not,
one does.
Yeah. And let me just to say, if you're not familiar with White Castle, they're bite-sized, basically.
I mean, it takes 4 bites to finish it. No, it's not 1 bite.
It's 2 bites. It's a 2-bite situation. Maybe 3.
Maybe 3.
Okay, so anyway.
Like one does.
So I'm hungry when I start, right, eating. Yeah. When I finish eating them, 10 of them, right?
Yeah.
I'm still just as hungry.
Yeah.
So they've done nothing to actually, you know, fix my hunger.
Yeah.
I'm still just as hungry as when I ate them, except I feel horrible. I'm sweaty. I'm bloated, but I'm not full. It was just not good. But yet, even now talking about it, I really want to get a packet. And I'm not interested in White Castle. Listen, I'm not interested in your specialty burgers.
No.
I don't want your pepper jack cheese. I don't need an onion ring on top of it. Just give me – I want the burger on the bun with the pickles and the onions.
Yes.
That's all I want.
That's
I don't want anything more. I don't want ketchup on it.
No. Take it as it is.
Yeah. That's a White Castle.
Yeah.
So – oh boy, yeah.
And then, 2 hours later, you're devastated.
Just
It starts to hurt.
Then the devastation begins. Yeah.
Well, they're cooked in onions, and they're not even fresh onions. They use the same batch of onions to cook everything for 4 or 5 days in a row.
When the restaurant opens, that's the grease that they use forever. So.
So the longer the White Castle's been in existence, the tastier it
– it soaks up.
Like you don't want to go to a brand new White Castle.
Mm, no.
Because there's no flavor. No. I mean, it's
going to taste like –
it's going to taste
fresh.
It's going to taste like it's meant to.
Oh, man. I don't need that.
No, the old White Castle that's been, you know, downtown
– Tuttle Crossing.
Yeah, it's been there for 45 years. It's the original White Castle.
Yeah. Dad used to play softball games there. And sometimes – yeah, and around Tuttle, we'd stop by. I remember.
Well, Tuttle Park was near campus.
Okay. Well, there was a White Castle close to there
that
we used to get them from. And of course, Dad would, you know, come back with a ginormous bag full of White Castles.
Which as a kid is awesome.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Where were we? Something about the World Series.
So I don't know. We're talking about the World Series. Here's the thing. Okay. I don't understand it. Maybe you can explain to me. Why in the world Joe Maddon put Aroldis Chapman in the game in the 7th inning last night with a 7-2 lead?
Yeah, I don't get that at all. 7-1, I think.
At that point, maybe it was 7-1?
I think it was 7-1 at that point. But, in no way should that happen. I mean, it's a total desperation move. If I'm the Indians going into Game 7 – I feel happy thinking that it's like they're in desperation mode.
Mm-hmm.
We're not. We got Kluber on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
They're throwing in Chapman like every chance. The day before, the game before, they threw him in the 6th inning, right?
No. Well, yeah, I don't know if it was the 6th inning.
I think it was the 6th inning.
Okay.
Because he pitched like 3 innings.
He pitched 6, 7, and 8 or something. Because the game was close and you like, okay, we can't take chances.
I know, but it's still desperation. You're putting in Chapman who is like potentially historically – you know, I don't know. He's not the greatest closer ever. He's a very good closer.
He's probably the best closer today.
In
the game.
Its current, you know, last couple years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm okay with it a couple days ago because the game is close. It's the World Series. It's an elimination game for you. Do whatever you have to do to win.
Right.
Let tomorrow take care of itself.
Right.
But in this game, you have such a lead.
Yes.
And you've got other good pitchers.
I mean,
you could put in Travis Wood. He's kind of a long reliever guy. I mean, you could put him in, and he could do just fine.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't understand it. Like you said, it's desperation. If I'm Terry Francona, I tell my guys going up to the bat, listen, just make the at bats as long as possible.
That's right. Stretch them out.
Don't worry about anything else. Let's just get as many pitches under Chapman's belt as possible.
Right.
So that way he's not as effective because tomorrow night is the next game.
Right.
You know, and you want Chapman to be fresh because Kyle Hendricks is pitching against Corey Kluber tonight. Now, when you hear the names of the pitchers, you know, on both sides, Kluber, you know, Jake Arrieta, you know, John Lester. But the thing about Kyle Hendricks is he has the best ERA in Major League Baseball this year.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't think most people think about him as a great pitcher, but, you know, he's got the best ERA this year. So Kyle Hendricks is nothing to sneeze at. Kluber is looking to be the, second pitcher or third pitcher ever to get 3 wins and 1 World Series.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that happens. But I don't know. It just, like you said, it just feels like desperation to me. So going into Game 7 of the World Series, what is your prediction? Now, just as a reference point, right, the Chicago is favored by one.
Yes.
If you're a betting person. And the over-under is 7, which seems like a lot to me when you've got two really good pitchers.
It does. I'd take the over on the over-under.
Over?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Just because it's game 7. It's going to – and the weather. I mean, you could not ask for better weather in Cleveland.
It's been great.
It's like 72 degrees, like at 10 o'clock at night in Cleveland, which it's November 1st, November 2nd.
Snowing.
It could be snowing, you know, and the weather's perfect. I think the bats are starting to warm up some.
Yeah.
I think early in the series, I mean, it was tight.
And even the Cubs, even the last series, the Cubs weren't, like, batting as well as they could.
No.
So I think if you're an Indians fan, you got to be nervous about what happened last night with Bryant, Russell, Rizzo, and Zobrist. And by the way, I think of all of them – If I had to have the game on the line, if I'm a Cubs fan and all I need is a hit, I might want Ben Zobrist above anybody. He just seems completely unfazed by the moment. And I mean, Bryant is their best hitter. There's no doubt about that. But Zobrist is just a beast. I mean, just consistent.
They're the heart, the meat of their lineup. Any of those guys can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the truth. Mm-hmm. Like any one of those guys.
And that's not even mentioning Schwarber.
Yeah. Which now that it's a DH situation, it's perfect for him.
There was no reason to think that Schwarber was going to keep on doing what he did in game whatever that was, 3 or whatever. Like, I thought it was completely overrated what he did in Cleveland, I guess, in game 2.
Well, he had one hit?
Yeah. I mean, and he's been resting the whole season. I mean, it's unrealistic to think that he could come in and be Babe Ruth. So
he's not.
Yeah. So, what is your prediction?
Oh, I think Cleveland. I think Kluber.
Mm-hmm. Gun to your head. Remember.
I know take the gun off.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, it's a coin flip. It really is. My thought is the fact that Cleveland was up 3-1. You know, they should be able to close this thing out. Winning 2 games in Chicago is huge. They've only won 1 game in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think Cleveland. I'm going to say Cleveland.
You got Cleveland with the win.
Yeah. Because if I think about it like this, they're going to end up playing 4 games in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to lose 3 games in Cleveland.
Okay.
That's my logic.
Here's my logic. I'm going to pick Chicago. And I'm not as invested as some people. I do want the Indians to win. I mean, heck, earlier in the episode, I called them we, you know, when I was talking about the Indians. So as I do want them to win, but I think it's a bad sign that the Cubs' bats are heating up when they are.
Yeah.
I think you're asking a lot from Kluber.
Yeah.
I think Kluber's great. He's the best pitcher in the series probably, but that's a lot to ask, and there's no reason to think that – I mean, it wouldn't be ridiculous for him to not be able to do it, you know?
I agree.
I just think, I don't know, the Cubs' bats getting hot when they are. But, you know, John Smoltz keeps on making a big deal of this. He keeps on saying the more at-bats you get against Chapman, the more comfortable you get with him.
And that's
true. So last night, it's like Joe Maddon just gave the Indians more batting practice and more film and everything on Chapman. It was just Joe Maddon gets a lot of credit for being smart, but I thought that was really dumb.
Well, here's the thing. As a Reds fan, I saw Chapman give up runs and hits and wins.
Yeah, he can.
He can. Easy. Yeah. Are we done talking about the World Series? Here's the thing. When people listen to this, there will already have been a winner.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, we're breaking down Game 7. It hasn't even happened. And by the time people listen to it, we're going to sound either really awesome or really stupid.
Well, that's why I picked the Cubs. So at least one of us got it right.
Yeah, okay. Like, yeah, Lower Radio got it right.
We got it right. We nailed it. All right.
Okay, hey, wait, before you move on, because you didn't write this down in your notes.
Okay.
I don't think. The results are in from October Streak for the Cash.
Oh, right.
This is very important because we promised that starting this month, we're going to give away something.
October? In the month of October?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're going to give away something. We're going to go to Goodwill and go get the first sports shirt that we see.
Yeah, if it's a child-sized New Jersey Nets windbreaker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then that's it.
Okay.
Which they could put it on their kid.
Uh-huh.
You know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we'll send it to your house. But it's the first sports clothing that we see at the local Goodwill store.
Mm-hmm.
I have it right there. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Look at the top of the list.
Right.
And who does it say?
Jason.
Jason.
But me. John Meadows has the most wins of the month.
Well, that doesn't matter.
No, that matters.
No, it's the current it's the streak. We talked about the streak.
No, I thought it was the most wins of the month.
No, at the end of the month.
Who has the longest streak?
Who has the longest streak?
Well, John has a 9-game streak.
I finished the month. It doesn't matter because if you lose halfway through, it doesn't matter at that point. The way it works is you've got to have the streak at the end of the month. So I've got 9 wins.
Wait a minute.
What?
Okay. No, I'm sorry. All right, I'm with you now. So you're saying you win.
I did win. I have 9 wins at the end of October.
Uh-huh.
The next closest is Cap Rig 1 with 2 wins.
Well, that's happening right now. Caprigli.
No. That's.
Oh, okay. I wonder when. I think.
I did a screenshot.
Okay.
The like when it was over.
Now I'm guessing. I don't know, but yeah. I'm guessing that's Phil Capriglione,
friend. I don't know who that is.
Friend of John Meadows.
Okay.
So I'm guessing that's Phil. Phil, if you're listening, thanks for listening. So right now, Phil has a 3-game winning streak in the month of November.
In November, yeah, which right. It's November 2nd, and he's got a 3-game streak.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I lost my first 2 picks last night.
I didn't pick anything last night. I wasn't even thinking.
I think
about
I picked
it.
Like a tennis match this morning.
I'm just
gonna try to get back on.
Yeah,
the
here's
radar.
A pick right now: Jack Sock from the USA. That sounds like the biggest made up name in the history of the world. Like if you were asking me, like, you went somewhere with a friend. Who was it? And I had to make up a name.
Jack,
and then I look at a sock on the ground. Yeah. Sock. Jack Sock against Dominic Thiem.
Yeah, that's the game I picked.
Who'd you pick?
The other guy.
Who will
not
win this
Jack
matchup?
Sock.
Yeah, Jack Sock's got 4.6%.
Well, that doesn't mean anything.
He's not even ranked, though. The other guy's ranked 6.
Yeah, well, that's why I did it.
And plus, Jack Sock's from the U.S., and the U.S. Tennis is not
well,
very
this
good.
Is in...
Is this tennis?
Yeah.
Okay, this is tennis.
Yeah, it's yeah. tennis. And it's in France.
Okay.
Paris, France. So I'm thinking a United States tennis player playing in France is probably going to lose.
Right.
I mean, that's, you know.
I saw a...
breaking down world tennis.
Yeah. Speaking of France, I saw an ad in the I saw an ad in the paper the other day for a French gun for sale. Yeah. It said, French gun for sale, never fired, dropped once.
Okay, Dad.
Oh, that was bad. I can delete that. That was a bad dad joke. All right, so...
So I win, streak for cash.
I don't know.
No, I did win.
I don't view it as you won.
No, because listen, in the streak for cash for ESPN, because they give away $30,000,
mm-hmm.
It's whoever has the streak at the end of the month. It's not whoever had the most wins.
So does that mean you get the shirt?
I get the shirt, but I'm not going to buy one. I'm not going to buy one for
you're
myself.
Just giving it to yourself.
I'm just giving it to myself.
So the month starts again.
Yeah, we're going to start all over.
Okay.
So November 30th. At the end of the month,
mm-hmm.
I'll take a screenshot,
uh-huh.
I'll put it up on Facebook, and whoever has the longest streak at the end of the month
right.
will win an article of clothing from Goodwill that's sports-related.
I wonder who's Jeremy G.
I don't know.
Jeremy.
We picked up a couple more guys on the list.
The court jester.
Did you figure out who that was?
No, I haven't figured out, but he's already got four. He had a 4-game winning streak.
I know, and this is day 2 of the month.
Right.
Yeah.
Now he's on a 1-game losing streak. Jeremy G. It feels like I should know who Jeremy G is.
I don't know, but he's a listener of the show, apparently.
Maybe. I don't know.
So we're picking up listeners. Did you get... Oh, yeah, that's everybody. So you did mention Brandon Levins earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Were we going to give him a nickname now, or are we going to sit
oh,
on
Oh, yeah,
that?
That's the thing, is because we've got the nicknames for everybody. We've got Adam the Male Nurse.
Uh-huh.
We've got Husky Luke. We've got Shoeless Joe.
Uh-huh.
Now, John Meadows doesn't have a nickname, but I like the name John Meadows. I think it rolls off the tongue well.
Yeah.
So I think we just say John Meadows.
Well, I think in the cast of characters,
mm-hmm.
you've got, like, everybody's got a nickname, and then there's that one guy who's just like, that's mm-hmm. well, that's John Meadows.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
All these weird nicknames and then John Meadows. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, what do we know about Brandon? We know that he eats dirt. You know, we mentioned that.
Maybe not currently. He did.
We don't know that. I mean, he called it a habit, you know.
Well, in his, habits are hard to break.
Yeah.
The dirt eater?
I don't know.
Dirty mouth?
No. I don't know about dirty mouth. I don't know.
The dirt licker.
Dirt licker. We know that he was, you know, batting gloves, on hands, sad, walking away from, you know, the Legion Field and Prospect. You know, we know that.
Which probably made him a better player.
Yeah, put like a little fire.
That's right. Yeah. He's like, he couldn't play his first year. He's devastated.
Right. Yeah. He like had a picture like of our dad up on the wall.
Yeah.
Like, and he's like hitting a boxing bag, like looking at
doing
the picture.
Rocky stuff.
You know, he's got
yeah.
like an X through dad's face, you know, so. Okay.
Well, let's sit on that. Let's talk about that next week.
Okay. But okay. We do have to come up with a legitimate nickname other than just Brandon, right?
Here's the thing. If you make it on the show, if you write into the show and we read your thing,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get – oh, you forgot Jake's 8675309.
Oh, Jake's 8675309.
Which we haven't talked about him in a while because
– I think he stopped listening to the show.
He stopped responding. Well, he might still yeah. listen.
Now that basketball season's back, once the Warriors start doing well
yeah.
again, Cleveland at some point will hit a slump, and then we'll hear from Jake.
Well, he was tagging us on all his Twitter stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't done that in a while.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe we just hack Jake off.
My feelings are hurt.
He'll come back.
You think so?
Yeah, because he's going to start talking smack. As soon as Golden State goes on a 10-game winning streak,
right.
he's going to get on it again.
Okay. All right, so let's move on from the World Series. Move on from ESPN Streak for Cash. Every week we pick the NCAA football ranked teams that are playing each other. Last week we both went 2-1, so yeah. that puts you at 16-5 on the season.
Pretty good
picking ranked opponents, and I'm 12-9, so I'm still.
I got a 4-game lead.
I'm still in the win column. This week there's only two games where ranked teams are playing each other. First of all, Nebraska is at Ohio State. Last week. Ohio State decided to make it interesting against Northwestern. Northwestern, they should have beat by, I don't know, like 100 points. But it was super close at the end, and Ohio State barely squeaked out of it. Ohio State is not – they're ranked sixth in the country. They're not the best – they're not in the top six teams in the country. I'm sorry. They're just not.
They're not.
I wish they were, but, you know, you can't lose 50 guys to the NFL and expect just to reload that quickly and be great.
Yeah.
So – anyway, that being said, Nebraska lost to Wisconsin, so Nebraska is not undefeated anymore.
Right.
This is Husky Luke's team, right? So Nebraska against Ohio State, who you got?
It's at Ohio State.
Yeah.
I think it's huge.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go Ohio State.
Okay.
If it was at Nebraska, I think I'd pick Nebraska.
I just watched Ohio State look horrible against Penn State, who's yeah. not good, and then look horrible against Northwestern, who's not very good either.
Yeah.
Nebraska is significantly better than both of those teams.
Yes.
I don't care where it's at. I'm picking Nebraska.
Okay. You and Husky Luke.
I'm with you, Husky Luke. I mean, I don't want you to win, but I just don't think Ohio State's that good, which is, you know, it just they're going to be good next year. That's fine.
No, I agree. They're probably 15th, 16th in the nation. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a safe place to put them.
Yeah, I think top 15. I think right around 15, 16. That feels about right to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
But not like, you know, playoff.
Well, what's tough is the Big Ten. I really think this year the Big Ten's pretty tough.
Yeah, it is.
And, they're going to look bad from week to week, you know, from time to time. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen, even in a tough conference. Do you realize Penn State has a chance to win the Big Ten?
That's weird.
It is weird.
Yeah.
But it's true. If they win out and Ohio State beats Michigan,
mm-hmm.
and then Penn State has the tiebreaker against Ohio State.
Right.
Penn State could win the East, the Big Ten East, whatever that's called.
That's weird.
That is weird.
That doesn't seem right. All right, so that's that. So we split on that. I assume we're both taking Alabama,
yes.
number one, to beat 13 LSU.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm not – I mean, Alabama's the best team in the country. So, and LSU, who knows with them. So now
– I'm either going to gain a game this week or you're going to close the gap and make it a three game.
It's up to that Ohio State-Nebraska game.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which is an 8 o'clock game.
So right now in the college football playoff rankings, they've just released them for the first time. Here's your top six. Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, a one-loss Texas A&M, Washington.
Which is undefeated.
Undefeated, but I don't know how good their schedule is or how good they are. And then a one-loss Ohio State is number six.
Right.
So,
Texas A&M lost to Alabama.
Obviously, the teams that have their destiny and they're in their own hands would be because I don't think Texas A&M and Bama are going to play again.
There's an SEC championship. Are they in the same?
Yeah, I think they're both in the West, I'm pretty sure, or the East or whatever. I think they're both on the same side of things. I could be wrong about that. So you would assume Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, Washington, if they all go undefeated, then that'll be your top four, right?
Yeah.
Now, if Ohio State beats Michigan, then all of a sudden I think Ohio State and Michigan just switch places.
Yeah, well, Texas A&M might bump up. Ohio State might bump to four.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Ohio State would crack the lineup. Well, here's the thing, because if Ohio State beats Michigan, that means Ohio State will play in the Big Ten Championship, and they'll play either Wisconsin or Nebraska.
And then have another chance.
And have another good victory
right
at that point. And so
that's assuming they win out. That's assuming.
Yeah, no, they would have to win out. Mm. But and we just said Ohio State doesn't even deserve to be in the playoffs.
I don't think so.
No, I'm okay saying that. They really don't.
Yeah.
But
That being said.
All these teams, I think, except for Washington, if they win out, they're going to be in it.
Right. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. The year that Ohio State beat Miami in the national championship, that was not the best Ohio State team I've ever seen.
No,
not
no,
even close.
No.
They just,
no, those 90s teams with like Eddie George and yeah. Joey Galloway and
Bobby
Terry Glenn
Hoing and
Ricky Dudley.
Yeah.
Andy Katzenmeyer.
Yeah, those teams were great.
Big Daddy Wilkerson.
Defenses were stacked.
Yeah.
Yeah, those teams were amazing. Those are the best. I thought those were the best Ohio State teams.
Yeah. They just couldn't convert against Michigan.
Or the bowl game,
yeah.
All right, so there you go. Well, this is college football sitting right there. You know, moving over to the NFL really quickly. You know, we got about 10 minutes left, give or take. So as far as the NFL goes, the interesting thing is that the Patriots just traded a very good defensive player, Jamie Collins, to the Browns for a third or fourth round pick. I think it's kind of up in the air with whether it'll be third or fourth round.
Yeah.
In the draft. And here's the way I look at it. First of all, we feel bad for Jamie Collins.
Yes.
He went to sleep and he was 7-1, and when he woke up, he was 0-8.
Yeah.
You know, nothing that he did to do it. Now, this is the last year of his rookie deal. He's a very good defensive player. Apparently, he wants what he's calling Von Miller money, is what he wants.
That's probably why they traded him.
He's the kind of guy that can play every position on the field. Like, he could be a free safety. He could be like a defensive, like outside defensive lineman. He's a very good guy. Here's what I say. If Bill Belichick made a trade with the Browns, my money's on the fact that it's a good trade for Belichick. You know, like, I don't think the Browns are getting one over on Belichick. If I'm the Browns, I'm nervous, and I'm not a Browns fan, but he's a free agent. You've given away a pick that could be somebody good.
Yeah.
For this guy who you're only going to get for the rest of the year, and now you have to convince him to stay with the not only worst team in the league, the worst franchise in the NFL for the last
forever
since Bernie Kosar. You know, so I don't know why he would stay. I would assume he could get similar money no matter where he went. You know, maybe the Browns could offer him the most, but even from the Browns' perspective, they shouldn't sink that much money into Jamie Collins.
No.
So I don't understand.
This is what happened. I'm telling you, I can see it already. The Patriots anticipate having to sign him for Von Miller money, which they're not willing to do. But the Patriots are, you know, historically the greatest franchise in the, you know, I mean, their last 10, 15 years has been unbelievable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what they do is they dump him to the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
And then he's going to wake up thinking, man, I wish I was on the Patriots.
Yeah.
I would do anything to get back on the Patriots, because his experience in Cleveland is going to be the worst experience of his life.
He has no idea.
He has no idea how bad it's going to be. Not just playing for the Browns, but living in Cleveland. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
He's gonna long for the days to go back to New England. And he will go back to New England on a shortened salary. on a salary, not Von Miller money. Because he's like, I want to go back. I want to be a champion. I want to be in Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I want to play for them. I don't care about the money anymore.
Yeah.
Because I've been in Cleveland. And all the money in the world isn't worth being in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
No, I hear you.
And how brilliant is that for Belichick to say, we're going to dump him in Cleveland, give him a wake-up call, let him realize how good he has it in New England, and we get a third-round pick.
Yeah.
So we're going to get him back, sign him for half of what we would have signed him for, and we get a third-round pick.
Here's the thing. The Browns last year, I thought, did the smart thing. They got the most picks in the draft. Their whole draft strategy was to get more picks. That's what the Patriots do.
Right.
It's what the Patriots have built their team on. I think it's a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
And so they were obviously playing a long-term game, get defensive players, get offensive and defensive linemen, get lots of picks, and increase your chances of getting better and better players. Which
they retained like 18 of their rookies.
Right. And I thought, okay, it's a long-term game. You do this for 5 or 6 years, you're going to have a stockpile of talent.
Right.
It's a good idea. And then all of a sudden, they give up. It's like they completely revert to their old ways by giving up a good draft pick for, you know, Jamie Collins for half of the year on a season that doesn't mean anything. I mean, it makes sense for a team like, I don't know, the Broncos or, you know, the Raiders, right?
Or
a team that has a chance of being good this year.
Yeah.
To say, oh, you know what? If we could just add Jamie Collins for the last half of the season, it's going to cost us some money. Or it's going to cost us a draft pick, but he's going to put us over the top. That makes perfect sense to me.
I wonder if Cleveland we just want one win. Like, we just don't want to go.
I mean, you know how they do those signs in the the end zone and stuff that, like, you know, like sections of rows have to, like, coordinate to hold these huge signs?
Yeah.
They did that last week in the dog pound, and they misspelled the word dog pound. They put, like, the P first. It was like P-G-O. They completely hacked it up, you know.
Yeah.
That's a microcosm of the Browns season.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't understand it. So as far as the NFL goes, the other thing is Cam Newton's complaining because he's getting hit too much. Legitimate, not legitimate. What do you think?
If you run out of the pocket, you're going to get hit. I don't care if you're a quarterback, running back, wide receiver, whatever. You're outside of the pocket, you're going to get smashed. And when you're big and you're strong, he's bigger and stronger than most of these defensive players.
Yeah.
And bigger, stronger, faster.
Yeah.
So you're going to get hit.
But I saw the highlights. He got hit. He was in the pocket when he got some of these hits that he's complaining about. Do you feel he's bigger, stronger, faster, they give him, even in the pocket, different rules than Tom Brady gets in the pocket?
Because of this. Tom Brady will throw the ball away. Peyton Manning used to throw the ball away.
Yeah.
Cam Newton doesn't throw the ball away. If you go up and hit Tom Brady, like, he falls down.
Yeah.
But he never even takes a hit.
Yeah.
Because he throws the ball away first.
Right.
You go up and hit Cam Newton, he's not guaranteed to go down.
No.
He might spin out of that and rush for a touchdown.
Yeah.
So based on that, it's like, I got to hit him hard and knock him down.
Yeah.
And so he's taking extra hits because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Those extra hits that he's taking, Brady doesn't take because he gets rid of the ball.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the point is Cam Newton, if you don't want to get hit, throw the ball away, get rid of it, or stop running.
I think I agree. You know, I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit, but I tend to agree. It's football. It's just the way it is. So, really, not that much in the NFL. I mean, the Cowboys are interesting. You know,
the best record in the NFC,
right? And built on the offensive line, but Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott,
two rookies.
Yeah, two rookies just getting the job done.
Without Dez Bryant, really.
Yeah,
he's been hurt.
Well, they had him in the last game.
Yeah, but I mean, they've done most of this without him,
right? So, you know, and then come back. And get a big win, a big drive when you needed to against a pretty good Philadelphia team. So they look really good. It'd be interesting to see. You know, like, there's a team that could use a Jamie Collins, right?
Yeah.
Like, you add Jamie Collins on the Cowboys, and all of a sudden it, like, vaults you to that next level, right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, the Cowboys are going to have no problems this week.
Because they're playing the Browns.
They're playing the Browns.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Hey, what if, seriously, Collins goes to the Browns. They went out. They finished the year 8-8.
I don't think 8-8 is going to get it for you this year. I mean, the rest of the division would have to completely tank.
It's possible.
It's possible.
If Cleveland wins World Series tonight, So the Cavs win, the Indians win.
Then the mojo has officially transferred because it stayed with the Indians.
And they just signed Collins. Things are changing. They got a pro bowler on staff.
They can't spell dog pound.
No, that was last week. Okay. This week is a whole new week.
Okay, all right.
That's what I'm saying. There's still hope.
There's still hope.
I mean, it's slimming very quickly.
Yeah, this is it.
This is it. If because they're not good.
It mean, even if they win undefeated, they might not make it. There's no guarantee that 8-8.
No,
at all.
No, but they would be the hottest team in football if they could be 8-0.
I will just say, yeah, if they did make it at 8-0, then you gotta, you know, if they could squeeze in.
Honestly, I don't even know who their quarterback is right now. I'm a Browns fan. I'm wearing a Browns shirt right now.
You are.
I have no idea who their quarterback is.
I went
is.
To Applebee's this Sunday after church.
Yeah.
And the Applebee's waiters and waitresses, I think on NFL Sundays, can wear like the NFL jerseys. Yeah. And one of the waitresses had a Browns jersey. And on the back of it, it was like she had like taped a piece of paper over the name and put like a different name that I didn't recognize. And I think that was like the new quarterback.
Yeah.
It was like Psych or I don't know what it was. Yeah. It was something that I didn't recognize.
Well, I wore this sweatshirt trick-or-treating the other day. And I had so many people say, oh, look at that costume. It's a Cleveland Browns fan.
Yeah.
Like, that's scary.
That's the scariest thing I've seen all day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And the one guy, we're doing the trick-or-treat. Gideon's running back and forth, picking up the candy. And a guy waves me over. Like, he's sitting down. Like, you could come to me, but he waves me over. So I go up because I don't know what he's going to say. I mean, I'm just trying to be a responsible, you know, neighborhood citizen, you know, whatever. And I go up and he goes, let me tell you something. He goes, one kid, I gave him a Tootsie Roll. He looks down at his bag. He goes, oh, crap. It's just more Cleveland Browns tickets. Like, he's devastated. I'm like, okay, Dad, that's another dad joke.
Yeah, that was a dad joke for sure.
I mean, but that really happened.
Yeah.
I mean, he told me that story. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I do the fake laugh.
All right, Gideon, we gotta go.
Okay, next house.
Yeah, this is Browns country. Too, where
it
we're
is.
Living in.
Yeah,
you
for
know?
Sure.
And people are still like, you know, people are, they love the Browns.
Yeah.
How could you love the Browns?
I mean, I love the Browns. I have no, I mean, apart from winning, going 8-0 and hopefully everybody else has a disaster, I don't know.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's getting harder and harder.
I don't even view them as like lovable losers. You know what I mean? They're,
no,
not
they're
even,
just losers.
They're just losers. And, yeah, so that's not good. All right. Well, you know, that's pretty much all of our time. You know, Sunday was one of the only days, if not the only day of the year, where there was an NFL game, a NHL game, an NBA game, and a Major League Baseball game all on the same day.
Nice.
So we're kind of in that nexus of perfect time, lots of stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
We didn't really get to the NBA. I wanted to talk about DeMarcus Cousins. What was the situation?
Okay, so he goes into the fourth quarter with zero fouls.
Okay.
And you're allowed, before you foul out in the NBA, six.
Six, yeah.
He fouls out with 30 seconds left in the game.
Six fouls in one quarter.
Now, I've been there.
Sure.
I fouled out of every game I've ever played in.
Yeah.
That's no joke. Yeah. I mean, literally, every game I've ever played in, I have fouled out.
If you're not fouling, you're not trying.
That's right. So, I appreciate DeMarcus Cousins fouling out. But to get 6 fouls in one quarter, that's unbelievable. That's crazy. The last foul honestly wasn't his fault. It was an offensive foul. He went for a layup, and he kind of moved his hand, and it looked like he pushed off. But the other guy was pushing him, too.
He's kind of a hothead. The officials don't like him.
No.
So
no, in the NBA, you cannot talk back to the officials.
Not like that. Unless you're Tim Duncan, and you put your hands up in the air and shrug your shoulders. And that's the one thing I don't like about Tim Duncan. He whines too much. But then again, I'm a LeBron fan, and LeBron whines a little bit to the refs as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So, you know, there's really not that much. I think the Lakers are better without Kobe this
year.
Sure, I think Oklahoma City is better without Durant this
year. No, they're not. No. Oklahoma City played in the Western Conference Finals. They almost beat Golden State. Western Conference Finals. How are they better without Durant? That makes zero sense.
Okay. Well, logically speaking, Durant lost the Western Conference Finals this year. Or last year. So the team with Durant is most likely to lose them again this year.
That makes no sense.
Well, Russell Westbrook is killing it.
He is killing it.
I like my MVP pick.
And I hope Oklahoma City cleans house. They wipe the Western Conference. They go up against the Cavs in the finals. That would be awesome.
Yeah. that would be awesome. That would be the thing to do. And then Ray Allen retired, so, you know, fond farewells to Ray Allen.
Jesus Shuttleworth. What?
Jesus Shuttleworth.
I don't know that.
He got game.
I don't know what that is.
That movie that he was in with Denzel Washington?
Yeah, I don't know it. I mean, I've seen it, but like I
that was his character's name.
I couldn't quote one character or one line from that movie.
His name in that movie was Jesus Shuttlesworth.
Okay.
Okay.
Greatest three-point shooter ever?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. Pretty pure.
I mean, I think Stephen Curry is, you know.
Well, it's hard. Let's give him some time. But yeah. I agree. I'm a huge Curry fan. But yeah. Curry is just... Yeah, no, you're right. Curry's better.
Curry had the greatest season of any three-point shooter ever. But, you know, he's got to do it. I mean, for all we know, Curry could fall off, you know, and be an average three-point shooter for the rest of his career.
Some longevity would go a long way.
I'm looking for some longevity.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, well, that's it. So as we close, do you have any songs that are going through your brain today?
Jimmy Crack Corn and I Don't Care?
I don't know that I can find that. I can look.
I don't. Just the first thing that came to mind.
Jimmy Crack Corn and I Don't Care.
Jimmy Crack Corn and I Don't Care. Jimmy Crack Corn and I Don't Care.
All right.
Jimmy Crack Corn and I Don't Care.
All right.
Dun, 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 dun.
We'll look for it.
That's like a polka version. If you can't find Jimmy Crack Corn, do some type of polka 8-bit.
Polka. 8-bit polka. Okay.
Let's just do, okay, kill the Jimmy Crack Corn. Forget the Jimmy Crack Corn.
Yeah, because I don't think Jimmy Crack Corn is polka, is it?
No, it's not polka. It's like
polka, 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 the polka twist.
I don't know.
We had some big hits in the 80s.
We?
That was the line from John Candy in Home Alone.
Oh, yeah. No. Was it Home Alone or Planes, Trains, and
Automobiles? No. It was Home Alone.
Okay.
It was when he gives a ride to Kevin's mom, and he's like, gives the name of the polka band. He's like, you may have heard of us. And she's like, no. He's like, polka, polka, polka. The polka twist. We had some big hits in the 80s or the 70s or whatever.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Let's do some polka.
All right. So I'm going to find some 8-bit polka. I don't know. What's the most famous polka song? I can't even think of one.
Well, when I think of polka, I actually think of Weird Al.
Okay.
Because he does polka versions of songs.
Okay.
I'm a Weird Al fan.
I am not.
I like Weird Al.
I don't think he's that funny.
There's I have an appreciation for Weird Al.
I think he's good at
what
he does.
He's very good at what he does.
You know, he's very talented.
Yes.
But I think he's trying to be funny, and I don't laugh at him.
I need to show you some videos.
I've seen...
No, you haven't.
Okay.
Like his old stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, he's got new stuff that's funny.
Okay. All right, I guess.
I'll show you.
I mean, when I was a kid, I liked to just eat it. I thought that was great, you know.
Yeah.
But I was a kid, you know.
So. Yeah.
All right, so... Apparently, right now, there's some 8-bit polka music being played in the background. If not, I'm just going to play something random. And, you know, we'll just...
I think it would be a fun thing, like, ask me every week, you know, what should we play, and me try to stump you with something. Like, good luck finding this.
Great, thank you. Yeah, that's all I need. Okay.
Find me some 8-bit bluegrass.
maybe Man of Constant Sorrows.
Dueling Banjos.
I'm sure
that's an 8-bit.
Oh, it's got to be.
Okay, we'll say Dueling Banjos next week.
Next week.
Yeah, let's do polka this week.
If I can even
Polka's already playing. I know. I can hear it.
Okay, good.
In my imaginary earbuds.
Good. I'm glad. All right. Well, cool. This is Dan Owings signing off for Jason Owings, reminding you to always keep your stick on the ice and never wear the blue sweats.